This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Tech Talk is underway on this Saturday, and there's a lot of tech news to get into. And our phone number on the program, the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line, is wide open, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. And if you text, that'll come right into the studio. If you call, that'll get you right to Josh Wheeler, and he'll put you through to get us on or get you on the air with Doug. And computers, hardware, software, whatever, if you're having problems, feel free to call the program. We're normally on the air Saturdays between 3 and 4 o'clock. Doug, thanks for joining us. How you been? All right, having a little trouble reaching Doug. Why don't we take an early break right now and come back? It is Tech Talk, Steve Thompson with Doug Swindhart here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. And we are back. It is Tech Talk. Doug Swindhart joining us here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. Well, huge internet problems on Friday, and they linger today. Airlines, banking, hospitals, you name it. This was not just here in the United States. It was global. And let's start with CrowdStrike. I wasn't even really familiar with CrowdStrike. Doug, let's start with what do they do and what caused this major internet problem?
You know, that's interesting. This is it's some tie together with Cisco. I think it's actually a division of Cisco that does security, and everything that they've got is actually showed up on an internet outage map, and it indicates that every one of these has to do with Office 365 and Microsoft. And of course, Microsoft stands up and says, well, you know, it was these guys over here, but we really don't know the whole truth. I know Cisco well enough to know that I don't think that they actually broke things on purpose, of course, but I think it's probably more reasonable to think that Microsoft made some changes and didn't alert everybody, but they're the ones that found it, and, well, you know, somebody's got to fall on the sword, so this time it was Cisco's turn. But every one of these sites, every one of them that's down, has to do with a Microsoft network or Office 365. And I just wish that people would get to the point where they'd say, well, how come no Linux computers were affected, or Apple computers, or Unix, or FreeBSD? It's time we put a stop to this nonsense with Microsoft. I'm not sure all what went on, but I don't think we're getting the whole story.
Yeah, and once again, you know, CrowdStrike, known for producing antivirus software, and as you pointed out, it did impact Microsoft operating systems, and businesses are still picking up the pieces, as I mentioned, financial institutions, airlines, hospitals, etc. I'm sure there were a litany of small businesses impacted as well. And what's crazy about it is, and the stories we continue to read is that apparently it was some sort of update or patch
right.
that was sent out, and it caused this catastrophe. And
right.
we heard in the news at 3 o'clock that, well, we're confident in these systems, we're confident in CrowdStrike, we're confident in Microsoft. But the simple fact of the matter is, a simple patch was sent out. It created chaos. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine the impact to the global economy this outage has caused. And it brings me back around to one thing that, hey, these systems, we rely on them heavily, and mm-hmm. it sure seems to me that they're very vulnerable.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, they really do need to be shored up a great deal. And if you go on the little map with the link that I sent you for the Thousand Eyes, which is Cisco, today they're all up and running except that there's one spot and it's Oracle. And this can happen. It can happen. It's sad, but this much, when we rely on things to this heavy, but this one yesterday actually affected a couple of public utilities. That's really serious in my mind. There were places that didn't have 911 and phones. Well, I don't think it can get much worse than that. This is ugly. This is ugly. I don't know what the answer is. I know that that the security people are doing everything they can to keep everything up and running. And there's kind of a taboo with these enterprise systems. If you're down more than an hour, you should be punished. So that's kind of the golden rule. And you should know when you're going to have an outage ahead of time. And redundant systems should kick right back in. Yeah, this is really strange. It's just beyond. It's mind-boggling. And I've been talking for years about how much resource we got for the internet and how we really need to coddle that and baby it. And we got the same thing going on with our electrical grid. We're very vulnerable, and we really shouldn't be. It's ugly.
Doug, I kind of drew a conclusion from this as well, and we've talked about backing up your data, important documents, photos, videos, et cetera, whatever you want to keep, whatever you feel like is important. And we've talked a long time about cloud storage and the people that do cloud storage, whatever you use, whether it's a product from Apple, a product from Google. There's a number of people that provide cloud storage services. But it led me back to, I sure would sleep better if I had a better backup, a hard copy backup. Sure, I've emailed important things from one account to another. That's a trick that I use. That if it's not my Yahoo account, I email it to my Gmail account. So I've got important documents or photos that I really want to hang on to in both spots. So that's stored technically in the cloud. But
yep.
But also the idea of having a physical copy. And the old term was a DVD. External hard drives are very cheap. That those really important documents, would it be wise in the face of an outage like this? And I think this is just the beginning. I think we're going to see more cyber attacks. I think we're going to see more outages and more issues going forward. I don't think this is the end of it. That having that data backed up and having a physical copy in your possession might be a good idea.
Oh, no question about it. And especially with the introduction of AI on both sides. The security firms are working with some artificial intelligence to try to achieve zero-day protection. And I will guarantee you that the bad actors, they're utilizing AI to work around the professionals. It's going to be, I agree with you. I think that this is the tip of the iceberg. And as for an external copy of your data, I think today it's vital. Absolutely vital. And like you mentioned, external hard drives today are just cheap, cheap, cheap. In the perfect world, we'd have one hard copy on an external hard drive. We would have a copy that we're working with on our computer, another copy that we would have away from our computer that's airlocked, not connected to the internet at all, and one up in the clouds at Google Drive or iCloud, or in my case, Proton gives me 500 gigabytes in the cloud, which is an enormous amount of space. I think that now we're counting. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 copies. And I think that we've gotten to that point to where we really need to think in terms of 5 copies. 1 we're working with and 4 others. I just really think that's important.
317, and by the way, just a final thought on that, you're always welcome to email, but the media, not only here, but overseas, including the BBC, Microsoft says it estimates 8.5 million computers around the world were disabled by the global IT outage, and once again, the glitch came from a cybersecurity company called CrowdStrike, which sent out a corrupted software update to its huge number of customers. So, once again, business industry continuing to recover from that here on the weekend. It is 318. We will come back, go to the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line. Here's some things we want to get into. Someone got an email that says their personal information is on the dark web. We'll get Doug's thoughts on that. And what could the bad guys learn from what happened on Friday? A couple of good ones. We'll send Doug's way when we come back here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk with Doug Swindahart. We're on the air Saturdays between 3 and 4, and you can find the podcast at WCCORadio.com or the Odyssey app. Just go WCCO Tech Talk, and you'll find those podcasts. A lot of audio, a lot of info over the years on the program. All right, Doug, we do want to get to our StylesFinancial.com talk and text line. And here is a good one. I have received these emails myself. Mm-hmm. The texter, I received an email that said, my personal information is on the dark web. What can I do about this?
Where did it come from? That's the big thing. Yeah. You got to know who checked that for you. Now, Proton does this automatically, but they've got a hold of me 3 weeks before they initialized this service and said, do you want to partake? And I said, sure. But now when I get a report from them, and that's the only place I'm getting it from, if you just willy-nilly get one of these from God only knows where, you're going to want to be looking into that source before you do anything. And for God's sake, do not click on the link in that email until you know who sent it. This is being used as a phishing thing as well. You know what I'm talking about. They're just wanting you to, it's clickbait. Sure. It's strictly clickbait, unless you know where it came from. And the thing is I see that as well, and even Proton came up and just found a ton of them. And I'm looking through this. They found stuff back from 2008. MySpace. When was the last time you heard somebody talking about MySpace, Steve?
Yeah,
well, I apparently they found that way back in 2008, somebody used my password to create a new account for MySpace. Well, that's a breach. That's a breach of my privacy, and so they alerted me to it. Nothing serious there because I don't have a MySpace account anymore. I don't use that login or the password anymore, so I just told them I took care of it and checked it off the list. And I still got some to go through. They did a thorough job of doing all of my email addresses and usernames and passwords. They did a great job of scanning through it, so I trust that. But to just get one out of the blue, I would be suspicious from morning to night until I figure that out. That's a good text. Thank you so much.
Now, if you do pay someone to monitor your credit information, one of the big three credit bureaus, credit card companies offer this service. That's a different story. One of the credit cards I have offers that service as part of being a customer. Well, they will monitor and they will update me, and I'll get an email every month that says, we didn't see anything unusual. And it's like, oh, okay, thank you for keeping an eye on it.
Yeah.
So it depends, and that gets back to the old talk we've given numerous times on this program. Where did that email originate? Who is it coming from? And be wary of attachments. We talk about the big CrowdStrike outage and the fact that they sent out a bad update and it crashed millions of computers around the world. But you can do something to protect yourself. Where did the email come from? And by all means, don't click on an attachment unless you're absolutely sure.
Yep, I couldn't agree more. And a link inside that email as well. Yep. You got to know who's sending this to you. Now, see, and my opinion is a little bit different, Steve. I don't think people should have to pay for that. If we sign up for a service, and I don't know how that breach took place, chances are it was more on their end than my end. And if they're going to perform that, it's as much for them as it is for you and I. We should not have to be expected to pay. Proton does it free. I know there's a bunch of people that do this for free. But they should first ask your permission. Very first thing, I think they need to have the individual's permission before they start even that search.
Right.
And once they got that, oh, absolutely. And once you get the information, don't get too carried away. If there's 50, 60, 100, a lot of them might be dead. Might be accounts that are way, way old. But see, this is the important thing with watching your passwords as well and not having the same password for 200 accounts. It would be a nightmare if you lost that one. And that's kind of the way you got to be thinking these days. But as far as paying for that service, I think that the people who are wanting you to get this, I think they're as responsible for your security, maybe even more so than you and I are. So I don't think it should just be a total cost on your on the user's end. That's my opinion.
Yeah, Doug, another one that came up this week for me is I did get a notification from my password manager that I had a couple of passwords that had been compromised. They were very old accounts. Mm-hmm. One was for an old email account that I shared with my wife a long time ago. As a matter of fact, it was quest.com. It goes back.
Oh, yeah.
It goes back that far. And then there was another one, a service I haven't used in a long, long time. But my password manager said, this may have been compromised. I'm like, don't care. Don't use the account. Doesn't matter. Not aware of any personal information. So I disregarded it. But I think when you have services, you should at least pay attention to when they point something out that, hey, here's something you may want to look at, especially if you signed up for it or you work with these people. Don't ignore that stuff.
Absolutely not. I think that's really good advice. See, sometimes people say, oh, it's just spam. Just disregard it. No, you got to start reading these things, especially something like this. It really is important to stay on top of this. I can't stress it enough. And it also drives home the fact that what we've spoke about before, Steve, is the fact that once you put it on the internet, it's there forever. 2008, they brought a login for me? My goodness. Yeah. Hey, talk about way back, huh? But it's kind of a rude awakening to go, oh, wait a minute here. And I worry about the people who have my Social Security number and my cell phone number and have logged into my cell phone number to get my personal ID number off that phone. That's too much information for them to carry. And I also think that we need some laws in place to where once you're done doing business with a business, they need to wipe that data off their servers 100%. And I don't know how we could verify that, but I think that's going to be important coming up as well.
Yeah.
You just mentioned Quest. You just mentioned U.S. West or Quest. Well, who knows what went on during those business transitions? People were getting laid off and promoted, and well, you were bound to have some disgruntled employees. God only knows what went on.
Yeah, U.S. West became Quest, became CenturyLink.
Exactly.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk PDFs and someone having trouble sometimes copying info out of a PDF and moving it to a Word doc. I've run into that myself. Mm-hmm. Also, the bad guys and what maybe the bad guys learned from what happened to the internet and some 8 million plus Microsoft Windows computers with the CrowdStrike update that went bad. we'll get into that when we come back following the weather here on Tech Talk. Doug is in, and the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line is open, and that number is 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226 here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. Tech Talk, Doug Swinhart joining us today here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. Twins later, Twins and Brewers. The Twins have been off all week for the All-Star game, and they will play a two-game series with Milwaukee at Target Field beginning later today. Our lineup card at 5:30, your first pitch at 6:10. Pablo Lopez on the mound, and we did learn that Carlos Correa and Chris Paddock have been put on the injured list. Austin Martin and Eddie Julian are with the club. So let's start with the phones. We'll get back to our text line in a moment. By the way, the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line is always available, 651-461-9226. Let's go to Lawrence in St. Paul. Lawrence, you're on the air with Doug. Hello.
Hello, gentlemen. Real quick, so in managing junk mail, I do block the ones that I know are junk mail, but with the political season in place, I keep getting emails from supporters of Biden, supporters of Trump, supporters of Dunk for president. They go to junk, but I'm wondering, does it make sense to go to the unsubscribe for those, or should I just leave them in junk?
Well, you know,
they're always good to hear you guys.
Thanks. Yeah, this is interesting. I get a bunch of these too, and what I've noticed is that both parties must be spending an enormous amount of money on domain names. At the bottom of each one of these, at least in my mail on Google and Thunderbird, it says unsubscribe and report abuse. And my Apple does the same thing on my iPhone. So I go down, I do one click, and that should take care of it. But the next day, I've got a different domain name sending me the same garbage. So they're, it's almost impossible to stop if they're going to do that. I'd like to see that come to an end as well. And incidentally, Steve, my Proton mail doesn't get any. None. I don't quite understand it. I don't know whether it's just because it's a newer email address, which I'm sure has something to do with it. But I'm not getting any. None. I'm mind-boggled by this. Yeah, this is one thing about the political field that I think that people should realize as well, is that, yeah, we're spending far too much money and far too much time getting these people elected, and they should be doing their jobs instead. But that's my opinion.
Yeah, and when it comes to that, I know right now I get bombarded with political texts from both sides of the aisle. I know my number's floating around out there, and every time, report spam, delete. Report spam, delete. I just do it out of habit. It doesn't really help. My number is out there. I'm getting bombarded. I think when it comes to email, you and I have talked about this over the years. Marking it as spam and kicking it into your spam folder, I'm fine with. I don't want to spend an extra second on going through the steps of unsubscribe. You know what? I think going through all of that, in my opinion, creates more problems. I just kick it into the spam folder and let them manage it.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I think that when you go through one of those unsubscribe procedures, I think it trips and triggers all kinds of processes by, you know, these 700-page agreements that we never have time to read. I love the little paragraph that talks about us and our partners. As I think as soon as you decide you're going to unsubscribe from them, guess what? They send it out to their 45 partners, and they start whacking you. Right. I really think that that's happening. I really do. I think it needs a – we definitely need some laws passed, that's for sure. It's going to be difficult to stop, but we need to stop this. We are wasting Internet resources that should be utilized in delivering content to the end users. We're the payers. We deserve it first, but we seem to get it last. I couldn't agree more.
All right, Doug, from the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line. By the way, the number, 651-461-9226. What do you think the criminals learned from that massive Internet failure on Friday that could aid them in future attacks. They went on to say against the West. But in reality, the bad actors, could they have learned something from something as innocent as a patch or a software update that was sent out on behalf of CrowdStrike that brought down all these Windows machines?
Yeah, this is interesting. I actually read through the entire technical document that CrowdStrike released. And what this was an antivirus update that should have went right straight into a specific spot, and it did. And it was adding to protection for antivirus and malware. And they even explained the channel numbers and how it was supposed to work. The affected machines were Windows 7.1 and above that were not updated properly to cover this particular breach. So there's an awful lot of machines out there that weren't getting updated. And whether they had network software or not, I don't think any bad actor can learn anything from this. That they'd have to be upper echelon, what I would call router gods, to even begin to understand this. This is very complex. And I like the fact that CrowdStrike was very open, said, you know, we saw it happening as it was happening. We shut it down as fast as we could. But our systems are meant to update things as fast as possible. And it got to like a third of the globe in nanoseconds. And that's part of the problem, too. You can do things too fast. Maybe we should step back and test. But when they find a vulnerability, they want to slow it up in a hurry. And I like that their little deal they put out. It wasn't too long, but the line before the last paragraph, it says, systems running Linux or Mac OS do not have channel file 291 and were not impacted. That's kind of a tell, too. Then it talks about the root cause analysis and what we can do to prevent it in the future. And it has to do with the Windows 32 directory structure and the fact that a lot of the ports and things in Windows are open all the time, where in Linux and Mac, they're closed. It's just a difference in operating systems. I personally think that Microsoft needs to take some responsibility here as well. After 40 years, they need to have an operating system that is much more robust and much more secure. Again, it's a personal opinion, not a slam against Microsoft.
All right, quick break. We'll come back. We have got more personal health information floating around on the internet. We've got something on that. Question about Windows 10 and a comment on Proton VPN. We'll get into all of that when we return. Tech Talk with Doug, Saturdays between 3 and 4. Twins and Brewers play later. We'll have the lineup card at 5:30 today. Joe Mauer goes into the Hall of Fame on Sunday. We'll have a ton of coverage of that, as you can imagine, with the huddle tomorrow morning, and then an early Twins game, noon start tomorrow, Twins and Brewers here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. Tech Talk with Doug, all the news coming up at 4. We'll go outdoors with Steve Kearney all on the way. Twins and Brewers a little bit later on, pregame show at 5:30. All right, Doug, let's get to that PDF conundrum. This person says, for some PDF documents, they can grab a sentence or two or whatever and move it over to a Word doc and so forth. But then some PDFs, they can't copy and paste.
Yeah, it really depends how the original author put this together. Yeah. You can encrypt them or you can protect them. But generally speaking, if they've got that PDF downloaded to their computer, I would have LibreOffice and open it up in LibreWriter, which is similar to Microsoft Word. If you get it in there, you own the world. But even then, if that PDF was set up with security and encryption and locked in place, which sometimes is necessary, government forms are a prime example. If you've got a Social Security fill-in form, they don't want you changing the sentences where they're asking you the questions. So they'll lock it in place, but you'll be able to check the box or fill in your name, address, and whatnot, and edit it just fine. But it really depends on how it was originally constructed and designed. There's no quick, easy answer for that.
Yeah, It is one of those that really depends on the PDF. And mm-hmm. you brought up LeBrae. It's free. It's been around a long time. That is a great option. LIBRE.
OFFICE.org.
Yep. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's a great program. Absolutely. Yeah, Windows, Mac, Linux, Unix, FreeBSD. It's truly cross-platform.
Yeah, document spreadsheets, presentations, all of that mm-hmm. sort of thing. It is very cool, good stuff. Here's one. I received a notice from one of my health care providers that my health records and other data, such as Social Security number, were stolen by hackers. But the letter did not say what I can do to find out if my medical records have been posted on the Internet for anyone to read.
I would be right on the telephone so fast it would scare you, Steve.
Yeah.
I'd say, listen, how did you let that happen to my data? Who's responsible? We've got laws in place, and when it comes to medical, they are stiff. This is a big deal in our country. I am amazed. Yeah, this person should get right on the telephone and if necessary, get a lawyer.
Yeah, and HIPAA, and once again, personal health information is a big deal in medical privacy. And you're right, the fines can be gigantic.
You bet.
For companies that violate HIPAA laws. So yeah, I think you have a legitimate beef there. Here's one.
Oh, absolutely.
Windows 10. Windows 10 desktop. The desktop home screen and every window I open are shifted to the left about an inch. What could be going on there?
Oh man, that could be a couple of things. I've had that happen before, and almost invariably there was confusion between hardware and software. And it could be your video card or your monitor, or a combination of the two. But generally, it has to do with configuring hardware and software so they're coordinated. And if they want to give me a call next week, I'd help them with that. It wouldn't take long.
And by the way, we'll have Doug's phone number and email at the end of the program. Here's one. You brought up Proton before. This person started using Proton VPN, but they can't log on to any of their financial internet access when it's on. When it's disconnected, I can log on to, say, my bank, etc. What could be going on there?
Oh, that's bizarre. My first thought is, they're probably using the free version, and which it's not expensive to purchase. I would encourage that person to give me a call as well. I'd like to know what's happening on that too. It's I've got mine set up to where the only place I actually have Proton in the house is on my router. So anybody that comes in and connects to our Wi-Fi, for example, they're behind the VPN. It's absolutely trouble-free. Trouble-free. Sites I couldn't get into. From time to time, Netflix would say, "Oh, you got a VPN. Shut that off." And Amazon Prime and Disney, all the pay channels did that. Not with Proton. They just pop right through it. I think they're trusted by these folks or something. It just works. It just simply works. I would encourage that person to give me a call next week. I'd like to check that out for them.
Yeah. And once again, Doug's phone number and email. Let's get that out there right now, Doug, before we run out of time on the program. How do people reach you during the week?
Oh, thank you. 651-552-9543. And, of course, admin, ADMIN, at WCZOTech.com. WCZOTECH.com. 651-552-9543. Oh, wonderful show today.
Yeah, great show today, Doug. Thanks so much for joining us. And
yeah, my pleasure.
We will do it again next week.
Excellent. See you later, Steve.
All right, there he is, Doug Swindar. Tech Talk Saturday is between 3 and 4, and our podcasts are available at WCCORadio.com. And that includes our archive shows. A lot of great info over the years. Or another great way to go is the Odyssey app, WCCO Tech Talk. Just do your search, and you'll come up with those podcasts. Speaking of that weather, we've got all the news coming up at 4 o'clock. Here in the Twin Cities right now, there's some humidity in the air. Dew point 63, temp 81, southeast winds at 9 miles an hour. There is a slight chance of thunderstorms, and there are some thunderstorms showing up on radar. Some storms south of Duluth, and those are moving south, and some thunderstorms just south of Mankato, and then just south of I-90 in the area of Albert Lea over toward Blue Earth, headed for the Iowa border. And we'll continue to monitor that, but it looks like we have a line of storms moving down 35 from the Duluth area on this Saturday. We'll keep an eye on it for you here at News Talk 830-WCCO.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Tech Talk is underway on this Saturday, and there's a lot of tech news to get into. And our phone number on the program, the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line, is wide open, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. And if you text, that'll come right into the studio. If you call, that'll get you right to Josh Wheeler, and he'll put you through to get us on or get you on the air with Doug. And computers, hardware, software, whatever, if you're having problems, feel free to call the program. We're normally on the air Saturdays between 3 and 4 o'clock. Doug, thanks for joining us. How you been? All right, having a little trouble reaching Doug. Why don't we take an early break right now and come back? It is Tech Talk, Steve Thompson with Doug Swindhart here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. And we are back. It is Tech Talk. Doug Swindhart joining us here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. Well, huge internet problems on Friday, and they linger today. Airlines, banking, hospitals, you name it. This was not just here in the United States. It was global. And let's start with CrowdStrike. I wasn't even really familiar with CrowdStrike. Doug, let's start with what do they do and what caused this major internet problem?
You know, that's interesting. This is it's some tie together with Cisco. I think it's actually a division of Cisco that does security, and everything that they've got has actually showed up on an internet outage map, and it indicates that every one of these has to do with Office 365 and Microsoft. And of course, Microsoft stands up and says, well, you know, it was these guys over here, but we really don't know the whole truth. I know Cisco well enough to know that I don't think that they actually broke things on purpose, of course, but I think it's probably more reasonable to think that Microsoft made some changes and didn't alert everybody. But they're the ones that found it, and, well, you know, somebody's got to fall on the sword, so this time it was Cisco's turn. But every one of these sites, every one of them that's down, has to do with a Microsoft network or Office 365. And I just wish that people would get to the point where they'd say, well, how come no Linux computers were affected, or Apple computers, or Unix, or FreeBSD? It's time we put a stop to this nonsense with Microsoft. I'm not sure all what went on, but I don't think we're getting the whole story.
Yeah, and once again, you know, CrowdStrike, known for producing antivirus software, and as you pointed out, it did impact Microsoft operating systems, and businesses are still picking up the pieces, as I mentioned, financial institutions, airlines, hospitals, etc. I'm sure there were a litany of small businesses impacted as well. And what's crazy about it is, and the stories we continue to read is that apparently it was some sort of update or patch that was sent out, and it caused this catastrophe. And we heard in the news at 3 o'clock that, well, we're confident in these systems, we're confident in CrowdStrike, we're confident in Microsoft. But the simple fact of the matter is a simple patch was sent out. It created chaos. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine the impact to the global economy this outage has caused. And it brings me back around to one thing that, hey, these systems, we rely on them heavily, and it sure seems to me that they're very vulnerable.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, they really do need to be shored up a great deal. And if you go on the little map with the link that I sent you for the Thousand Eyes, which is Cisco, today they're all up and running except that there's one spot, and it's Oracle. And this can happen. It can happen. It's sad, but this much, when we rely on things to this heavy, but this one yesterday actually affected a couple of public utilities. That's really serious in my mind. There were places that didn't have 911 and phones. Well, I don't think it can get much worse than that. This is ugly. This is ugly. I don't know what the answer is. I know that that the security people are doing everything they can to keep everything up and running. And there's kind of a taboo with these enterprise systems. If you're down more than an hour, you should be punished. So that's kind of the golden rule. And you should know when you're going to have an outage ahead of time. And redundant systems should kick right back in. Yeah, this is really strange. It's just beyond. It's mind-boggling. And I've been talking for years about how much resource we got for the internet and how we really need to coddle that and baby it. And we got the same thing going on with our electrical grid. We're very vulnerable, and we really shouldn't be. It's ugly.
Doug, I kind of drew a conclusion from this as well, and we've talked about backing up your data, important documents, photos, videos, etc., whatever you want to keep, whatever you feel like is important. And we've talked a long time about cloud storage and the people that do cloud storage, whatever you use, whether it's a product from Apple, a product from Google. There's a number of people that provide cloud storage services. But it led me back to, I sure would sleep better if I had a better backup, a hard copy backup. Sure, I've emailed important things from one account to another. That's a trick that I use. That if it's not my Yahoo account, I email it to my Gmail account. So I've got important documents or photos that I really want to hang on to in both spots. So that's stored technically in the cloud. But
yep.
Also, the idea of having a physical copy, and the old term was a DVD. External hard drives are very cheap. That those really important documents, would it be wise in the face of an outage like this? And I think this is just the beginning. I think we're going to see more cyber attacks. I think we're going to see more outages and more issues going forward. I don't think this is the end of it. That having that data backed up and having a physical copy in your possession might be a good idea.
Oh, no question about it. And especially with the introduction of AI on both sides. The security firms are working with some artificial intelligence to try to achieve zero-day protection. And I will guarantee you that the bad actors, they're utilizing AI to work around the professionals. It's going to be, I agree with you. I think that this is the tip of the iceberg. and as for an external copy of your data, I think today it's vital, absolutely vital. And like you mentioned, external hard drives today are just cheap, cheap, cheap. In the perfect world, we'd have one hard copy on an external hard drive. We would have a copy that we're working with on our computer, another copy that we would have away from our computer that's airlocked, not connected to the internet at all, and one up in the clouds at Google Drive or iCloud, or in my case, Proton gives me 500 gigabytes in the cloud, which is an enormous amount of space. I think that now we're counting. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 copies. And I think that we've gotten to that point to where we really need to think in terms of 5 copies, one we're working with and 4 others. I just really think that's important.
317, and by the way, just a final thought on that, and you're always welcome to email, but the media, not only here, but overseas, including the BBC, Microsoft says it estimates 8.5 million computers around the world were disabled by the global IT outage. And once again, the glitch came from a cybersecurity company called CrowdStrike, which sent out a corrupted software update to its huge number of customers. So once again, business industry continuing to recover from that here on the weekend. It is 318. We will come back, go to the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. Here's some things we want to get into. Someone got an email that says their personal information is on the dark web. We'll get Doug's thoughts on that. And what could the bad guys learn from what happened on Friday? A couple of good ones. We'll send Doug's way when we come back here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk with Doug Swindahart. We're on the air Saturdays between 3 and 4. And you can find the podcast at WCCORadio.com or the Odyssey app. Just go WCCO Tech Talk and you'll find those podcasts. A lot of audio, a lot of info over the years on the program. All right, Doug, we do want to get to our stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. And here is a good one. I have received these emails myself. Mm-hmm. The texter, I received an email that said, my personal information is on the dark web. What can I do about this?
Where did it come from? That's the big thing. Yeah. You got to know who checked that for you. Now, Proton does this automatically, but they've got a hold of me 3 weeks before they initialized this service and said, do you want to partake? And I said, sure. But now when I get a report from them, and that's the only place I'm getting it from, if you just willy-nilly get one of these from God only knows where, you're going to want to be looking into that source before you do anything. And for God's sake, do not click on the link in that email until you know who sent it. This is being used as a phishing thing as well. You know what I'm talking about. They're just wanting you to, it's clickbait. Sure. It's strictly clickbait, unless you know where it came from. And the thing is I see that as well. And even Proton came up and just found a ton of them. And I'm looking through this. They found stuff back from 2008. MySpace. When was the last time you heard somebody talking about MySpace, Steve?
Well, I
apparently they found that way back in 2008, somebody used my password to create a new account for MySpace. Well, that's a breach. That's a breach of my privacy, and so they alerted me to it. Nothing serious there because I don't have a MySpace account anymore. I don't use that login or the password anymore, so I just told them I took care of it and checked it off the list. And I still got some to go through. They did a thorough job of doing all of my email addresses and usernames and passwords. They did a great job of scanning through it, so I trust that. But to just get one out of the blue, I would be suspicious from morning to night until I figure that out. That's a good text. Thank you so much.
Now, if you do pay someone to monitor your credit information, one of the big three credit bureaus, credit card companies offer this service. That's a different story. One of the credit cards I have offers that service as part of being a customer. Well, they will monitor and they will update me, and I'll get an email every month that says, we didn't see anything unusual. And it's like, oh, okay, thank you for keeping an eye on it.
Yeah.
So it depends, and that gets back to the old talk we've given numerous times on this program. Where did that email originate? Who is it coming from? And be wary of attachments. We talk about the big CrowdStrike outage and the fact that they sent out a bad update and it crashed millions of computers around the world. But you can do something to protect yourself. Where did the email come from? And by all means, don't click on an attachment unless you're absolutely sure.
Yep, I couldn't agree more. And a link inside that email as well.
Yep.
You got to know who's sending this to you. Now, see, and my opinion is a little bit different, Steve. I don't think people should have to pay for that. If we sign up for a service, and I don't know how that breach took place. Chances are it was more on their end than my end. And if they're going to perform that, it's as much for them as it is for you and I. We should not have to be expected to pay. Proton does it free. I know there's a bunch of people that do this for free. But they should first ask your permission. Very first thing, I think they need to have the individual's permission before they start even that search.
Right.
And once they got that, oh, absolutely. And once you get the information, don't get too carried away. If there's 50, 60, 100, a lot of them might be dead. Might be accounts that are way, way old. But see, this is the important thing with watching your passwords as well and not having the same password for 200 accounts. It would be a nightmare if you lost that one. And that's kind of the way you got to be thinking these days. But as far as paying for that service, I think that the people who are wanting you to get this, I think they're as responsible for your security, maybe even more so than you and I are. So I don't think it should just be a total cost on your on the user's end. That's my opinion.
Yeah, Doug, another one that came up this week for me is I did get a notification from my password manager that I had a couple of passwords that had been compromised. They were very old accounts. Mm-hmm. One was for an old email account that I shared with my wife a long time ago. As a matter of fact, it was quest.com. It goes back that far. And then there was another one, a service I haven't used in a long, long time. But my password manager said, this may have been compromised. I'm like, don't care. Don't use the account. Doesn't matter. Not aware of any personal information. So I disregarded it. But I think when you have services, you should at least pay attention to when they point something out that, hey, here's something you may want to look at, especially if you signed up for it or you work with these people. Don't ignore that stuff.
Absolutely not. I think that's really good advice. See, sometimes people say, oh, it's just spam. Just disregard it. No, you got to start reading these things, especially something like this. It really is important to stay on top of this. I can't stress it enough. And it also drives home the fact that what we've spoke about before, Steve, is the fact that once you put it on the internet, it's there forever. 2008, they brought a login for me? My goodness. Yeah. Hey, talk about way back, huh? But it's kind of a rude awakening to go, oh, wait a minute here. And I worry about the people who have my Social Security number and my cell phone number and have logged into my cell phone number to get my personal ID number off that phone. That's too much information for them to carry. And I also think that we need some laws in place to where once you're done doing business with a business, they need to wipe that data off their servers 100%. And I don't know how we could verify that, but I think that's going to be important coming up as well.
Yeah.
You just mentioned Quest. You just mentioned U.S. West or Quest. Well, who knows what went on during those business transitions? People were getting laid off and promoted, and you were bound to have some disgruntled employees. God only knows what went on.
Yeah, U.S. West became Quest, became CenturyLink.
Exactly.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk PDFs and someone having trouble sometimes copying info out of a PDF and moving it to a Word doc. I've run into that myself. Also, the bad guys and what maybe the bad guys learned from what happened to the internet and some 8 million plus Microsoft Windows computers with the CrowdStrike update that went bad. We'll get into that when we come back following the weather here on Tech Talk. Doug is in, and the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line is open, and that number is 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226 here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. Tech Talk, Doug Swinhart joining us today here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. Twins later. Twins and Brewers. The Twins have been off all week for the All-Star game, and they will play a two-game series with Milwaukee at Target Field beginning later today. Our lineup card at 5:30, first pitch at 6:10. Pablo Lopez on the mound. And we did learn that Carlos Correa and Chris Paddock have been put on the injured list. Austin Martin and Eddie Julian are with the club. So let's start with the phones. We'll get back to our text line in a moment. By the way, the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line is always available, 651-461-9226. Let's go to Lawrence in St. Paul. Lawrence, you're on the air with Doug. Hello.
Hello, gentlemen. Real quick, so in managing junk mail, I do block the ones that I know are junk mail. But with the political season in place, I keep getting emails from supporters of Biden, supporters of Trump, supporters of Dunk for president. They go to junk, but I'm wondering, does it make sense to go to the unsubscribe for those, or should I just leave them in junk?
Well,
so, you know,
they're,
hang up and listen. Always good to hear you guys.
Thanks. Yeah, this is interesting. I get a bunch of these, too, and what I've noticed is that both parties must be spending an enormous amount of money on domain names. At the bottom of each one of these, at least in my mail, on Google and Thunderbird, it says unsubscribe and report abuse. And my Apple does the same thing on my iPhone. So I go down, I do one click, and that should take care of it. But the next day, I've got a different domain name sending me the same garbage. So they're... it's almost impossible to stop if they're going to do that. I'd like to see that come to an end as well. And incidentally, Steve, my Proton mail doesn't get any. None. I don't quite understand it. I don't know whether it's just because it's a newer email address, which I'm sure has something to do with it, but I'm not getting any. None. I'm mind-boggled by this. Yeah, this is... this is one thing about the political field that I think that people should realize as well, is that, yeah, we're spending far too much money and far too much time getting these people elected, and they should be doing their jobs instead. But that's my opinion.
Yeah, and when it comes to that, I know right now I get bombarded with political texts from both sides of the aisle. I know my number's floating around out there, and every time report spam, delete. Report spam, delete. I just do it out of habit. It doesn't really help. My number is out there. I'm getting bombarded. I think when it comes to email, you and I have talked about this over the years. Marking it as spam and kicking it into your spam folder, I'm fine with. I don't want to spend an extra second on going through the steps of unsubscribe. You know what? I think going through all of that, in my opinion, creates more problems. I just kick it into the spam folder and let them manage it.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I think that when you go through one of those unsubscribe procedures, I think it trips and triggers all kinds of processes by, you know, these 700-page agreements that we never have time to read. I love the little paragraph that talks about us and our partners. As I think as soon as you decide you're going to unsubscribe from them, guess what? They send it out to their 45 partners, and they start whacking you. Right. I really think that that's happening. I really do. I think it needs a – we definitely need some laws passed, that's for sure. It's going to be difficult to stop, but we need to stop this. We are wasting internet resources that should be utilized in delivering content to the end users. We're the payers. We deserve it first, but we seem to get it last. I couldn't agree more.
All right, Doug, from the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. By the way, the number 651-461-9226. What do you think the criminals learned from that massive internet failure on Friday that could aid them in future attacks? They went on to say against the West. But in reality, the bad actors, could they have learned something from something as innocent as a patch or a software update that was sent out on behalf of CrowdStrike that brought down all these Windows machines?
Yeah. This is interesting. I actually read through the entire technical document that CrowdStrike released. And what this was an antivirus update that should have went right straight into a specific spot, and it did. And it was adding to protection for antivirus and malware. And they even explained the channel numbers and how it was supposed to work. The affected machines were Windows 7.1 and above that were not updated properly to cover this particular breach. So there's an awful lot of machines out there that weren't getting updated. And whether they had network software or not, I don't think any bad actor can learn anything from this. That they'd have to be upper echelon, what I would call router gods, to even begin to understand this. This is very complex. And I like the fact that CrowdStrike was very open, said, you know, We saw it happening as it was happening. We shut it down as fast as we could. But our systems are meant to update things as fast as possible. And it got to like a third of the globe in nanoseconds. And that's part of the problem, too. You can do things too fast. Maybe we should step back and test. But when they find a vulnerability, they want to slow it up in a hurry. And I like that their little deal they put out. It wasn't too long. But the line before the last paragraph, it says, systems running Linux or Mac OS do not have channel file 291 and were not impacted. That's kind of a tell, too. Then it talks about the root cause analysis and what we can do to prevent it in the future. And it has to do with the Windows 32 directory structure and the fact that a lot of the ports and things in Windows are open all the time, where in Linux and Mac, they're closed. It's just a difference in operating systems. I personally think that Microsoft needs to take some responsibility here as well. After 40 years, they need to have an operating system that is much more robust and much more secure. Again, it's a personal opinion, not a slam against Microsoft.
All right, quick break. We'll come back. We have got more personal health information floating around on the internet. We've got something on that. Question about Windows 10 and a comment on Proton VPN. We'll get into all of that when we return. Tech Talk with Doug, Saturdays between 3 and 4. Twins and Brewers play later. We'll have the lineup card at 5:30 today. Joe Mauer goes into the Hall of Fame on Sunday. We'll have a ton of coverage of that, as you can imagine, with the huddle tomorrow morning, and then an early Twins game, noon start tomorrow, Twins and Brewers here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. Tech Talk with Doug, all the news coming up at 4. We'll go outdoors with Steve Kearney all on the way. Twins and Brewers a little bit later on, pregame show at 5:30. All right, Doug, let's get to that PDF conundrum. This person says, for some PDF documents, they can grab a sentence or two or whatever and move it over to a Word doc and so forth. But then some PDFs, they can't copy and paste.
Yeah, it really depends how the original author put this together. Yeah. You can encrypt them or you can protect them. But generally speaking, if they've got that PDF downloaded to their computer, I would have LibreOffice and open it up in LibreWriter, which is similar to Microsoft Word. If you get it in there, you own the world. But even then, if that PDF was set up with security and encryption and locked in place, which sometimes is necessary, government forms are a prime example. If you've got a Social Security fill-in form, they don't want you changing the sentences where they're asking you the questions. So they'll lock it in place, but you'll be able to check the box or fill in your name, address, and whatnot, and edit it just fine. but it really depends on how it was originally constructed and designed. That's there's no quick, easy answer for that.
Yeah, it is one of those that depend. It really, really depends on the PDF. And mm-hmm. you brought up La Brea. It's free. It's been around a long time. That is a great option. LIBRE.
OFFICE.org.
Yep. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's a great program. Absolutely wonderful. Yeah, Windows, Mac, Linux, Unix, FreeBSD. It's truly cross-platform.
Yeah, document spreadsheets, presentations, all of that mm-hmm. sort of thing. It is very cool, good stuff. Here's one. I received a notice from one of my health care providers that my health records and other data, such as Social Security number, were stolen by hackers. But the letter did not say what I can do to find out if my medical records have been posted on the internet for anyone to read.
I would be right on the telephone so fast it would scare you, Steve.
Yeah.
I'd say, listen, how did you let that happen to my data? Who's responsible? We've got laws in place, and when it comes to medical, they are stiff. This is a big deal in our country. I am amazed. Yeah, this person should get right on the telephone and if necessary, get a lawyer.
Yeah, and HIPAA, and once again, personal health information is a big deal in medical privacy. And you're right, the fines can be gigantic.
You bet.
For companies that violate HIPAA laws. So, yeah, I think you have a legitimate beef there. Here's one.
Oh, absolutely.
Windows 10. Windows 10 desktop. The desktop home screen and every window I open are shifted to the left about an inch. What could be going on there?
Oh, man, that could be a couple of things. I've had that happen before, and almost invariably there was confusion between hardware and software. And it could be your video card or your monitor, a combination of the two. But generally, it has to do with configuring hardware and software so they're coordinated. And if they want to give me a call next week, I'd help them with that. It wouldn't take long.
And by the way, we'll have Doug's phone number and email at the end of the program. Here's one. You brought up Proton before. This person started using Proton VPN, but they can't log on to any of their financial internet access when it's on. When it's disconnected, I can log on to, say, my bank, etc. What could be going on there?
Oh, that's bizarre. My first thought is, as well, they're probably using the free version, and which it's not expensive to purchase. I encourage that person to give me a call as well. I'd like to know what's happening on that too. It's I've got mine set up to where the only place I actually have Proton in the house is on my router. So anybody that comes in and connects to our Wi-Fi, for example, they're behind the VPN. It's absolutely trouble-free. Sites I couldn't get into. From time to time, Netflix would say, "Oh, you got a VPN. Shut that off." And Amazon Prime and Disney, all the pay channels did that. Not with Proton. They just pop right through. I think they're trusted by these folks or something. It just works. It just simply works. I would encourage that person to give me a call next week. I'd like to check that out for them.
Yeah. And once again, Doug's phone number and email. Let's get that out there right now, Doug, before we run out of time on the program. How do people reach you during the week?
Oh, thank you. 651-552-9543. And, of course, admin, ADMIN, at WCZOTech.com. WCZOTECH.com. 651-552-9543. Oh, wonderful show today.
Yeah, great show today, Doug. Thanks so much for joining us. And
yeah, my pleasure.
We will do it again next week.
Excellent. See you later, Steve.
All right, there he is, Doug Swindar. Tech Talk Saturday is between 3 and 4, and our podcasts are available at WCCORadio.com. And that includes our archive shows. A lot of great info over the years. Or another great way to go is the Odyssey app. WCCO Tech Talk. Just do your search, and you'll come up with those podcasts. Speaking of that weather, we've got all the news coming up at 4 o'clock. Here in the Twin Cities right now, there's some humidity in the air. Dew point 63, temp 81. Southeast winds at 9 miles an hour. There is a slight chance of thunderstorms, and there are some thunderstorms showing up on radar. Some storms south of Duluth, and those are moving south, and some thunderstorms just south of Mankato, and then just south of I-90 in the area of Albert Lea over toward Blue Earth, headed for the Iowa border. And we'll continue to monitor that, but it looks like we have a line of storms moving down 35 from the Duluth area on this Saturday. We'll keep an eye on it for you here at News Talk 830 WCCO.